Thank you, Nadine and Eve, for being our choir today. This time in the wilderness was an in-between time, in between when the Hebrews were slaves and having been rescued out of slavery, and before they were brought into this new land where God was going to be their king and in their midst. It is a time in which God is shaping expectations for what life with God is going to be like for this nation that God is forming. So everything that happens over those 40 years in the wilderness is setting the stage. It's setting the stage for what this new nation under God is going to be like. It is shaping expectations of God's role in their lives. And in those 40 years in the wilderness, manna is one of those lessons meant to help shape their idea of what it's going to be like to share life with God. Manna, bread rained down in the wilderness. It's hard to picture what this manna is like, described as fine as frost. It came each morning, and they went out to gather it up, and that was what they would eat for that day. I can't quite picture how you gather something as fine as frost. Maybe they swept it up. I prefer to think of communion wafers left on the ground for people to go collect every day. That's easier for me to envision. But it was brought down every day in the morning, and they would go and they would collect enough just for that day. Because if they collected more, it would not keep to the next day. It would go bad. It would actually gather worms by the next morning. Except for the eve of the Sabbath, they were to collect enough for 2 days, and it was preserved for 2 days for them. So a good question for you to ask every time you read a story in the Bible is just this simple question: what is God revealing about himself in the story? What is God showing us about himself? Firstly, in this gift of manna, this bread in the wilderness, what is God showing us about himself that he would provide this for us? When I look at that, it's a very simple but profound thing. God is revealing that he will provide for us even when no provision seems possible. Bread raining out of heaven. Secondly, what is God revealing about himself in this requirement that they collect it every day? That manna not be stockpiled or hoarded or saved for a rainy day. What is God telling us about himself with that requirement? That's a little harder. To me, it's God forging in our imaginations the expectation that God will provide for us each and every day of our lives. God is shaping the expectation that he intends to be a significant part of our daily life. Saying collect it every day is God saying, trust in me every day. Look no further than me for what you need this day. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to make blanket commitments that big. Is God saying, I'm going to provide for you every day for the rest of your life. Some of you are being called upon to be Sunday school teachers for this next year, being asked to commit to 9 months of either every Sunday or a couple of Sundays a month to be with our children. And you're wondering, that's a big commitment. How do I make that? We've asked elders and deacons to make a 3-year commitment to serve our church. That's a long time. The presbytery invited me to a 3-year commitment. I was like, I don't know if I want to do that, but I thought about all the elders and deacons. I was like, okay, I can do that. That's a long time. That's a big commitment. God has volunteered to show up reliably every day in your life for as long as you live. This is what God is revealing about himself in the gift of manna. He has volunteered to show up reliably every day in your life for as long as you live. Not just your life, but my life, life of your neighbors, life of your cousins, the person down the street with the wrong political party sign in their front yard, our friends in Nepal, our friends in Malawi. So just to validate that God was really meaning this, not just for Israel, but for all humanity, Jesus reiterates this desire of God to be that involved in our lives. He reiterates it by teaching us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." That is the manna gift of the New Testament. God's saying, "Ask me for what you need this day." Because God intends to be integral to your everyday operations as long as you live. God has promised to provide what we need, and promised to be able to provide it even when there are no conceivable means for how it will happen, like manna falling from the heavens. That is a huge commitment. So through manna, God is showing us, he's shaping expectations for us, that he will provide what we need, that he'll provide it every day without exception. But I think there's a third expectation that's being shaped in the wilderness too. It's this expectation that we would live just simply one day at a time, being satisfied with this day's bread, this day's manna. Living in the present moment doesn't come easily to us. We tend to live in the future, always aware of what's next, always aware of what's coming our way and the challenges of that and how will we meet that. Ever so often, I sign up for a long-distance running race, and I never do that by myself, always train with a team because I have, like, no discipline at all. So running with a team, following their schedule, doing long runs every week with the team keeps me out there, keeps me going. So last fall, I ran the Denver Half Marathon with Team in Training. That's the group I normally run with. They raise money for blood cancer research and treatment. And at the end of the season, the coach handed out awards to each of the runners on the team, just little pieces of paper, makeup awards that she made up. I got the one that was for best running form, but then underneath it, it said, "Look up, John." Because when I'm running long races, I just want to get done with it. I just want to finish. I don't normally enjoy the experience. And so I don't want to know how steep the hill is that's ahead of me. I don't want to look at the mile markers and see how much further I have to go. So I stare at the sidewalk when I'm running. I'm living in the future of the finish line, but I'm missing the moment, the opportunity to chat with other runners, to take in the scenery, because normally they're taking you through city parks, or to notice the team and training cheerleaders that are stationed ever so often with purple wigs and cowbells cheering us on. Most of us live running with our heads down. We're so focused on the future that we miss this present moment that is being shared with God. So God scales back our vision, and he tells us to look up. He tells us to collect only what we need for this day. Don't try to gather for tomorrow, because today is all you really have. Annie Dillard has a really pithy statement. She says, "We are most deeply asleep at the switch when we fancy we control any switches at all." In other words, we have no control over the future. So all we have is this day. So what does it look like to live one day at a time, this one day at a time with God that God is inviting us to in the wilderness and in Jesus' prayer? What does it look like to collect only enough for today and to trust God that tomorrow's bread will be ready when we need it? When you find yourself worrying about the future, running with your head down, focusing on your fears about tomorrow, ask this question. If these concerns cannot be resolved in the next 24 hours, this day, then what might God be bringing my way to help me through this day? If those fears about the future can't be resolved today, then ask, well, what might God be doing this day for me? If the ultimate answer we seek is far out of reach, What manna is God raining down on us in this in-between time, in this present moment? Lift your head. What do you see? What is God doing for you today? It could be that God is bringing something as simple as an insight. So you begin that day saying, okay, God, let's talk about that fearful thing in the future again. Here's all the things I'm worried about it. But what would you have me see today that I've not yet recognized? And you may notice in that day, that 24-hour day, some insight, some understanding that helps you visualize that future differently. It hasn't changed the future, but it's God's manna for this day. God is always raining down his insights, bit by bit, breadcrumb by breadcrumb, leading us, getting us ready to embrace what's coming our way. So how is God shaping you in this day? So daily manna looks like tidbits of insight that nudge us in the right directions. Living in the moment might also look like comfort in the moment, of God just encouraging you. One of my daughters went out for the cross-country high school running team. I won't tell you which one because I haven't asked her permission to tell this story. But I was proud of her that she went out for the team. She'd never run before, so that was a pretty big deal. And in her first 5K race, if you've ever done individual performance sports, you know it's all up to you. And before the race begins, you can completely psych yourself out, right? I mean, you can just go into cold sweats and want to throw up. It's really stressful. So she launched into that first 5K race, was actually doing pretty well. She was running as hard as she possibly could, was getting near the end, thank God, when she looked up and saw a hill. And it panicked her. So all she could pray was, oh God, oh God. I think that's all the breath she had, but apparently she was praying it out loud because one of the runners from another school was running beside her and heard her and said, you can do it. See, a lot of God's manna in the moment is simply encouragement when we need it. Encouragement this day. It might be the words of a psalm, like God satisfies the thirsty, and the hungry he fills with good things. We might still feel hungry at that moment. We may still be running uphill, but God is encouraging us that he's running beside us. It might be something that someone says in a conversation. You know, a word that they say that you know is coming directly from God to you. They are clueless about its significance, but it so closely aligns with your situation and your prayers and your needs. You know God is speaking through them to you, and you're being encouraged. So living in the present moment with God and experiencing God's manna can be insight, it can be comfort. It can also just be joy. Just the joy of the moment. Joy we miss when we're living in the future. I'm sure you've had this experience where you've been lost in thought, worrying about something you can do nothing about today. And you look up. I don't know if this has happened to you, and you see your dog smiling at you. Have you ever had that happen? Your dog staring at you, smiling at you, just hoping you'll notice. Or you look up from being lost in thought and you see a stunning sunset outside your window. Or you come out of that worry about the future and you realize that this food that you've been mindlessly eating actually tastes pretty good. Or you look up and you realize a small child is staring at you and wondering what you'll do next. These are all little joys packed into our day, as part of God helping us to dwell in this moment with God, to enjoy this day's bread, this manna. It doesn't solve everything for the future, but it is God's gift for this moment. So why is this a sermon about Sabbath? Because this one day of the week that we set aside from ceaseless seeking and striving for the future is how we learn to dwell in the moment. Practicing Sabbath teaches us how to value the moment. So your Sabbath day, whatever day, maybe remember mine is Friday, your Sabbath day, whatever it may be, when you rest from all your work, when you stop all your efforts to shape the future, stop looking ahead, and begin looking around, it's how you are training yourself to notice God in the moment. Regular Sabbath days of rest from our strivings, these forced days of rest that God gives us, like mandatory nap time, train our muscle memory that God will provide. When we rest, we're testing, is God enough for today? So those weekly breaks from our focus on the future, those weekly pauses to live in the moment, instruct us. God is in this day. God provides now, and God will be enough. Let's pray together. Lord, in these last 2 weeks of political conventions, we've been staring into the future, and we've been either seeing things that frighten us or things that encourage us, or some of both. But it certainly seems larger than we can control. So we're grateful for this reminder. Now it's a day to just rest in this day, a day to look no further than the end of this day, to look no further than the joys and the wonders, the insights and the encouragement that come from spending time with you and with people we love and pausing. So we pray that you would be in this time of pause as a nation, and that you begin to guide us individually and as leaders towards all that we might do in order to accomplish your purposes for our country. And pray that you would bring your hope and your certainty and your well-being for us. As we contemplate the struggles between people in our world and in our nation, there are so many ways in which we are still struggling to see each other. And so we pray, Lord, that you would bring simple insights to us about what we can do, how we can see a neighbor, how we can bridge cultural or economic divides, how we can see Christ in one another. And as we're finding one another in that way, Lord, we pray for safety in the in-between time. Safety for those who protest and safety for those protecting protesters, that we might even cross bridges at those places and find your grace. Prove yourself to be enough, Lord, for those fleeing wildfires and for those grieving, for those facing diagnoses, for those in the midst of their healing and recovery. Show them this day your daily bread. And now, hear us as we pray together the prayer you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
When I watch TV, it's just some shows that you just that are pretend, and when you explore, you get more imagination than you already had, and when you get more imagination, it makes you want to go deeper in, so you can get more and see beautifuler things, like it could, the path, if it's a path, it could lead you to a beach or something, and it could be beautiful.
Thank you. You think this is just another day in your life? It's not just another day. It's the one day that is given to you today. It's given to you. It's a gift. It's the only gift that you have right now. And the only appropriate response is gratefulness. If you do nothing else but to cultivate that response to the great gift that this unique day is, if you learn to respond as if it were the first day in your life and the very last day, then you will have spent this day very well.
Our next song is entitled Day by Day. This is a song that may not be familiar to it. It wasn't to me. I had to learn it and research and check it out. But this comes from Deuteronomy 33, verse 25. And the text is written by a lady by the name of Linda Sanders. Back in the 1800s, after she was out and her father fell overboard on a boat, and she was she looked at this as a testimony that we can trust God's presence anywhere or anytime that comes by. So she wrote these words. The words are written in an old English style, so it may not be a little easy for you to read, but it's on the back, so stand if you're standing, we'll sing it together and enjoy this new song.